So today we hear Jesus' very first words in public out of Luke's gospel. Jesus had gone back home to Nazareth where he grew up, and on the Sabbath day went to the synagogue for worship, and he got up to read the scripture that day. Now, this was a normal occurrence, just as members of our congregation read scripture for us like Chris did this morning. Jesus, a member of the synagogue there, got up and read the scripture that day too. So Jesus read from Isaiah, where it starts out, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Now, neither Isaiah when he wrote this, nor Jesus when he read it, were making any claim about themselves in terms of being Messiah for the people. They were only saying that God has anointed me. God has selected me to bring good news of hope. Good news of a new time. Now, these words from Isaiah, they were originally written for people, the Jewish people, when they had been defeated by the Babylonians. It was an awful time because everything they had was gone. Their country, Jerusalem, the temple was destroyed. It felt to them as if they had lost God's promise, as if they were cut off from God. It was all gone. Isaiah was writing to people, speaking to people who were defeated and had no idea what was going to become of them. Interestingly, it was only when they had lost everything that they were willing to look to God for help instead of relying on themselves. Now, this leads me to wonder why Jesus chose these words of all words to begin his ministry. Maybe it's because it was at a time when the people were weary of living under Roman occupation and feeling oppressed. It was a time when poverty was widespread and common, when people struggled just to survive. They had lost their country, their power, everything. They were looking to God to do something, to send somebody who would lead them and defeat the Romans. They were looking for a new time. So when Jesus read these words, again like Isaiah, he was not saying anything new. What was new was what Jesus said when the reading was finished. He said, today, these words have been fulfilled when you heard them. The new time they were waiting for had come. So did that mean that the captives were immediately set free? Did the blind suddenly start to see, or the oppressed become free in that moment? No. I think the part that was fulfilled was that last line that might almost be missed on us. Look for it there. It's in your bulletin. The part that says, "the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, what that refers to is what the Old Testament called the year of Jubilee. Jubilee was a time when all Jewish slaves were set free. All debts were canceled. It was a time of freedom and rejoicing. So by saying these words have been fulfilled in your hearing, Jesus was saying, the thing you've been waiting for, it's right here. It's right now. But there's a catch. Don't expect God to be doing these things, because God doesn't set slaves free. God doesn't cancel debts. People do. God's people do. God's people living God's will do this. And Jesus said, the time you've been waiting for has come. So how about us? Are we waiting for a new time too? Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Have you been anointed to bring good news to the poor? I think you have. What would that be? Well, here it is. God has not abandoned you. God is with you right here, right now. God has come to us in Jesus. God is not out to punish us. You don't need to be afraid. Jesus says, put the shame and the guilt away. Better yet, give me that. Give that to me. I'll carry it for you. You are free. You are set free to start your new life now, new and clean. And then Jesus calls us to be his partners in bringing in that good news, in making the year of Jubilee real, not just a word. A new time has come, but it's not complete. It begins. It begins with us. Now, this is not about pointing fingers at others and pointing out how others are enslaving people, or maybe how others are blind, or how other people are oppressing people. No, we can't point fingers at others until we come to terms with our own need to be healed, to end our oppression. The way Jesus put it elsewhere is, take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's. So we seek healing for our blindness first, for what we don't see, for what we can't see, or maybe what we refuse to see, and to free those who are oppressed. And part of that means to discern how we might be oppressing others without even knowing it, and what it would take to set them free, and to be released from our prisons of fear or hate, or our prisons of indifference and apathy or entitlement. See, for us, most of us have an enormous amount of power, and because we've always had it, we're usually not aware of it. We're not aware of how we use it with others. Oh, we may not intend to, but it's a systemic thing that is hard to escape. It works like this. If we wonder what to have to dinner, If we wonder what to have for dinner instead of whether we will have dinner, that alone means that we have power and position that we can't not have. Now, it's not a bad thing. It's not something to be ashamed of, but it's important to be aware of it. And because things are normal for us, we don't notice it. So it becomes a type of blindness, something we don't see. And because our society is separated along income and racial lines, it's easy to assume that our normal is everybody else's normal. But it's not. Our kids teach us this. When teens from our church meet kids their age who are hungry, first thing they realize is hunger isn't just a word. It's real. And it's close. And then they start to wonder, why is the kids 15 miles from here hungry? Wow. Explain that to a 14-year-old, huh? That's a complex question. So they feed hungry kids. They build relationships with them. And they also learn to see the world differently. They start to understand that their normal is not everybody else's normal. We keep hearing from them how being with those who have so little changes them because their eyes are opened to how much they have that they weren't even aware of. And then they are filled with, now get this, they are filled with gratitude. Gratitude for what they have that they weren't even aware of, and a desire to bring healing and good news to the poor. Last Tuesday, we had the first of apparently a series of snow days. There were 15, 16 kids set to make dinner and bring it to Hephatha. Kim says her phone was blowing up. And kids were disappointed they weren't going to be together, but most of all, their question was, what are the kids at Hephatha going to eat? Who's going to help them? So, have they been anointed? Tell me. Have you? Yeah. This is one sign of a new time. It's not just good news and good things for us. It is feeling God's promise for us and sharing that very same promise with others, with generous hearts, with kindness, not just bringing food, but bringing dignity and hope and love. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You have been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to bring release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind. It is words of love, hope, kindness, and respect. But if we stop at words alone, they fall flat. It is words and actions together. A new time has come when we hear good news, when our blindness is healed, when we are set free from our prisons, when we are no longer oppressed, and we are anointed to give sight to others who are blind and release captives and free the oppressed. Today, right now, these words have been fulfilled in your hearing.